Would you join me in prayer, please? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Good morning, church. In so many ways, when we think about faith and belief, we might well come to our experience with this sense that we should be unquestioning. There should be this unquestioning belief in God, or maybe what even the church or the clergy or Bible, what it says. Yet one truth is that we do not come through the wilderness of Lent and through the passion of Good Friday and the joy of the resurrection without some doubt. Doubt is healthy and good. Doubt actually strengthens our faith. Doubt can allow us authenticity in being real with ourselves and with God and with others. Because we're going to openly struggle through some intense questions about our experience, and that's okay. God invites us into doubt in that space. In other words, doubt is a deeply Christian thing to do. I'd like to start this morning with a little Bible 101. I'd like to trouble our passage from John this morning. One of my seminary professors would remind me that when we read this section of John, we almost always have to talk about this section. And it's interesting if you think about it, do we ever doubt the obvious reading of some of the text in the Bible? We're told that the disciples were locked in the room for fear of the Jews. And as we read through the Gospels, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Yes? No? Yes, okay. Just making sure you're still awake. See, doubt gives us the capacity to question. Doubt gives us the capacity to be open to new ideas. So I want to trouble this passage and say, is that really what is being said here? I think there's a special gift in liturgical art. Ross came up with this small little display this morning, the scroll and a prayer shawl, to reflect what happened yesterday at a temple in California. For fear of the Jews. In Christian history, and in the early development of the Christian church, those who believed in Jesus did not immediately switch from their Jewish heritage, their Jewish tradition. They saw their faith in Jesus as simply an extension of what it was to be Jewish. But things began to change after a while. The synagogue and the leaders of the Jewish congregations were not that happy with these followers of Jesus, so they forced them to make a choice. Keep following Jesus or renounce Jesus. And in doing so, you can stay with these great, rich liturgical traditions in this community that you have known and that loves you so much. That's what "for fear of the Jews" means in John's Gospel. As the text was written some decades later, the authors began to incorporate their experience into the text. And yet, if you think about it, isn't this just as true for us some 2,000 years later? Aren't we into a position of having to say, if we accept Jesus, what are we giving up? If we're listening to the call of God, what are we giving up? We are placed in the uncomfortable position of giving up certain creature comforts or leaving behind some experiences that we have grown accustomed to as we live fully into our calling as Christians. One example might be tithing to the church. I know everybody thinks we talk about money all the time. Frankly, we don't talk about it enough. One question you might ask yourself is, am I tithing enough? It's good to have that question raised in your head. Doubt about that. for centuries, we have used for fear of the Jews to fuel anti-Semitic sentiment. It's not where it belongs. And doubting the obvious nature of this text provides the capacity for us to ask the question, what does that mean? We presume instead of asking. Now, listen, we come to our modern culture and we see doubt in negative ways. We see doubt in these very pejorative constructions. We highlight certainty as a virtue, don't we? We proclaim conviction as a benefit instead of struggle. We think that being sure of belief is more important than openly wrestling with the unknown. This is very different than the way the early church used to do it. The early church would align themselves with Thomas, while today we rebuke him. Have you ever noticed how biblical stories show up in secular narratives? How many times have we heard somebody say, "Oh, don't be such a doubting Thomas," as if that's a bad thing? Over many, many decades, we have come to revile and scorn this principal actor who emulates this personification of doubt. But I want to stop and ask, was Thomas really that bad? Let's for a moment just put ourselves in Thomas's shoes. Here's a guy, he was a Jew, he was taught in the history of Israel, he presumably was steeped and embodied in the idea of God as deliverer. Just as God had done many times before, the Jewish people would be restored, and the end of the Roman occupation of the temple would come to pass. And for 3 years, now think about it, you're following this guy by the name of Jesus, and he's preaching, and he's teaching, and he's healing, and you think this is the guy that God has sent to deliver the Jewish people from yet another occupation, yet another captivity. And then you ride this wave of joy on Palm Sunday as palm fronds are laid down on the ground and Jesus comes in on a donkey, which is a sign of kingship. A triumphant return into the heart of the city that is the very root of your religious life. And for days he continues to preach and teach and gain authority. He overturns money-changing tables. He speaks of a kingdom to come. And then he shares a last meal with you, and he's arrested, and he's crucified. To suggest that Thomas or any of the disciples were anything but distraught and overwhelmed would be to understate the misery of their experience. Doubt, that was all they had. And then Jesus appears. And as the scripture tells us, Thomas was not in the room, but the other disciples received the Holy Spirit. If you go into the book of Acts, it's what we call the Great Commission. And suddenly they knew. They knew their job, which is no different than ours, was to go out and transform the world in God's love. And then Thomas showed up. Right? Now, have you ever been in a situation where you showed up at a party and everybody's already having a great time and you have to kind of try and step into that experience, right? Now you know what it was like to be Thomas. Have you ever heard a story that was so fantastic, so outside the realm of your experience, that you feel like somebody's pulling your leg? Now you know what Thomas must have felt like. Have you ever been the odd person out? Like somebody was telling a joke and you just didn't get it? Now you know what Thomas was feeling like. Have you ever had the experience where you've been feeling down and glum and depressed and somebody comes and tries to pick you up, right? And they say, no, everything's going to be fine, everything is going to be great. And you're just not feeling it, right? Now you know what Thomas is feeling like. You see, the fact is, we are all Thomas. But then, Jesus shows up. And Thomas believes. And is that not the same with us? When we need Spirit to move in our midst so desperately because we just want to give up, nothing seems to be going our way, and we doubt it ever will, that's when Jesus shows up. When we just aren't certain which way to turn, what to do, who to believe, how to go forward, what choice are we to make, when we are filled with such uncertainty and doubt, that's when Jesus shows up. When we want to act so assured and confident, but we just aren't feeling it. When our confidence gives way to those voices inside our head that say we're just not worth it, that's when Jesus shows up. When our relationships are a mess, when our goals seem 1,000 miles away, when we second-guess every decision we make, and we just don't seem to be able to make a good choice, that's when Jesus shows up. Because Thomas doubted, he made room for Jesus to show up. And when we doubt, we make room for Jesus to show up in our lives. Doubt is a holy blessing. And we do not make room in our hearts for Jesus to show up when we believe or act in a way that is contrary to our personal truth. When we are unsure, we ask for wisdom and guidance. When we're uncertain is when we pray for grace. And like the disciples, when everything seems to be turned upside down and we are full of doubt, that is when Jesus shows up in powerful ways to affirm our baptism and again call us as people of faith into action, transforming the world in God's love. Today, may you embrace the blessing that is your doubt. For on the horizon of your faith is the miracle of the resurrection and God who embraces you in love. Let it be so. Amen.